Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with John Eng, COO of the National Alliance for Youth Sports. I'm also here with my brother, mental game expert Dr. Patrick Cohn. Our topic, the benefits of coaches communicating with young athletes outside of practice.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, John, and hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, John.
So, John, tell us a little bit, as I understand it, you have a new online program that allows coaches to communicate with their athletes.
Absolutely. It's called Shape Stuff, and we're really excited about this new product because at NAIS we're really trying to stay really on the cutting edge. We've been around for 25 years, and it's interesting that in training youth coaches, it's come from doing live clinics to then doing videotape and then now online courses that we have for our coaches. And what we always want to do is try to stay, like I said, on that cutting edge so that the coaches have instant access to everything that they want to do to be able to provide great training to the kids. So what this Shape Stuff product, and I should tell you, it's a partnership that we've had with a group involved with George Mason University, and they've developed this, what they call Mobile Interactive Practice Planners. They call them MIPS for short, and it allows a coach to either review or preview practice plans with kids over the internet by basically creating a team page, and that coach can then communicate with either all the kids at once, or they can pick out one or two of the kids who may have been struggling with a particular play or a particular skill. And I can tell you a little bit more about it.
I have a quick question. Does
sure.
this mean that they all have to be there at the same time?
No, absolutely not. So what the coach does is he creates this practice plan for the kids. And like I said, it could either be a review. Let's put it into real terms here. So if you were a basketball coach and you were working on with younger kids on the proper fundamentals of dribbling, and all of your kids were having a little bit of trouble with that skill because you just introduced it, you could then go home. And again, these are small kids, so this would go through their parents. The parents and kids have already signed up for the program, and they only communicate directly with the coach. They don't communicate back and forth with each other. But the coach can build a little practice plan and provide these tips for dribbling effectively and dribbling the right way so that they can review it at home on the computer, work on it, and then come to the next practice, actually be a little bit more accomplished at that task.
John, one of the things that we talk about, and I'm just this may be a little premature to jump in here, but we talk a lot about how sometimes parents in their efforts to be kind of coaches too, and you got the regular coaches of the team, sometimes the parents' philosophy about how to do a skill can conflict with the coaches.
Right.
So I'm wondering from that perspective, when you have, you know, the parents and the child looking at the skills, and then maybe the parent thinks, well, I think there's a better way to do that. Have you addressed any of those concerns in the program?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because as a youth coach, you're a volunteer, and one of the biggest challenges is overcoming exactly what you just talked about. Because you're not a paid coach, that parent, you know, a parent is a lot more likely to do that to a volunteer who's teaching young children than they would to, say, like a high school coach or, you know, somebody who's getting paid to coach their kids. But this is a basically a reinforcement tool for you to be able to address, and especially with the small kids, what this tool does, and I'll put that exact question into play here, is allows you to address the parent and child together. Because when you do the Shape Stuff, basically it allows you to record a message. So you can kind of subtly address that parent to say, this is how the proper technique, and this is what I want you to work on now and at the next practice, could be because this is specifically what we're going to be going over. So maybe, you know, subliminally, the parent's hearing, okay, this is how the coach wants us to practice this skill. The other way to reinforce this with Shape Stuff that is really cool is, so you can send this audio clip, or you can pull a video out of our library on how to teach dribbling. I'm going back to dribbling again. And after that actual task is over, you could do a 2 or a 3 or whatever you wanted to interactive quiz that each one of the kids goes over that might say, do you dribble with your palm or your fingertips? And they select either one. That information goes back to the coach that they can see each one of the kids that completed that little quiz, and they can review. So if 7 of the 10 kids got it right or even completed it, that next practice, this coach has this feedback that the kids understand that, yes, we teach dribbling with the fingertips, and 3 of them answered in the palm, and you know specifically which kids answered that question. So it's great feedback for the coach to be able to reinforce that back to the child and, like you said, the parent.
Now, I have a quick question. Have you found that kids complain that this is homework and it's kind of like school, takes the fun out of it?
Well, we haven't gotten that far yet, but these guys, and I think we've been just overwhelmed with the amount of research that they've put into this, because one of the things, there's really two aspects to Shape Stuff that they've really got it, and I think that's why they're partnering with us. One is from the parent and coach aspect that they know that, you know, these youth coaches don't have a whole lot of time. So it's something that you can do in 10 or 15 minutes and send these practice planners out. The other thing is they've incorporated, in addition to the videos or the little quizzes that you can do, they've incorporated these little games. I'm trying to put, for radio or for a podcast, it's a little tough without seeing the visual. But if you see those little internet games where you're trying to capture or click on the ball or, do some sort of interactive video game, they allow you to grab one of these little games and put it in the middle of the practice planner to make it fun for the kids. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have a video and a little quiz, but the fifth frame, which, and there is only a maximum of 5 different things that you could do, just to keep it short so it doesn't turn into some big project, but it can be an actual little game where you're trying to sink a free throw or click your mouse on a basketball that's scrolling across the screen really quickly, so that makes it enjoyable for kids.
Interesting. So you haven't gotten any of that kind of feedback then? You're not far enough along, really?
Honestly, no, because we just came out with this a couple weeks ago, and everything that we're getting back right now is more about the functionality and how they're applying it to their teams. But we think they've done a really good job with this.
Now, what are the benefits to kids in terms of their mental game? Because I assume that there might be some here.
Well, I think that probably the number one thing when you're teaching kids skills, and when you talk about the mental game, I think the most important thing you can talk about is developing confidence. So obviously you want to develop, that's what practice is about. You're developing confidence through repetition, doing drills over and over again, doing your plays over and over again, so that when it comes to game time, not only are the kids prepared, but they're confident enough to be able to apply those skills and know those plays to have the application happen during the game. So if you're with kids, especially young kids who are just learning the skills, and you have maybe 1 or 2 times a week, and then you're expected those things that you're teaching, you know, we're talking 8, 9, 10-year-olds, and then the game all of a sudden is on Saturday, and you're expecting them just to, turn those things that you taught on. Anything that provides extra feedback or repetition, I think, is a good thing. So, back to that basketball skill, you can't expect kids to perform well because they don't have that confidence in themselves if they're not dribbling well. How are they even going to get down the court? So if you can do that in practice and then send them something at home to reinforce, here's what to work on in case you forgot it, I think that just builds that confidence level up. And I don't know that there's anything more important about the mental game than having the confidence and knowing that you can apply the skill that you're learning in that game situation. So I think it really does apply in that regard.
Patrick, what's your view? We do talk a lot about the link between practice and confidence.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. But, I think anytime you're using technology to help reinforce concepts, help reinforce things that you want kids to learn, I think is an awesome idea. And that's where it's going today, I think, with the wireless and online video and everything and all the lessons that you can do online now. So I think it's a wonderful idea. And John, I find that most kids, especially at the youth sports, coaches automatically assume if they say one thing or if they do a drill one time that, oh, the kids got it. They'll remember that. But I find in my work, even, with not even with the young kids, but with adults, you can't rely on them to automatically get a skill or automatically understand what you're saying, and then at the same time remember what you're saying. So I'm a big advocate. I know when I work with my mental coaching students, I'm always providing, I'm providing handouts, supplementary reading on the topic, maybe even sending them to a video, giving them what I call exercises or awareness exercises in between sessions. So I think it's a wonderful idea to build in that repetition and to help kids remember, you know, to be able to remember what they've done and to review what they've done. And we know, you know, as well as we do, that's an important part of the learning aspect. But I'm gonna play the devil's advocate for just a moment here and say we talk a lot about, you know, two mentalities, that there's what's called your practice mentality, where you're learning new skills, you're trying to get better, like you said, you're trying to do repetition. So when you get into a game time, we call it the performance mentality and the ability to just rely on what you practice. And one of our tips that we give for sports parents is you don't want to overload kids with a lot of technical details because practice is over. So one of my fears with a program like this is you reach a point of information overload from the perspective that now they're focusing on too many of the technical details of their sport, and they're not going out and just being performers and having fun, because their minds are so filled with a lot of the what we call the mechanical or technical details of the sport. So I don't know if you've thought that through in terms of how to not overload the kids at game time when it should be time to just go out and have fun and test what you've done in practice.
I can't agree with what you're saying more. So I definitely agree with you, and I think this tool is really just an extension and another benefit that those coaches can use to apply what has to be a good foundation of good coaching and good philosophy of coaching, which is what you're talking about. Because, boy, I know, you know, from keep coaching T-ballers and soccer players for the first time as a coach, you know, they might give you 3, 4, 5 practices before season starts, and you have a list of 30 things that you want to accomplish that just isn't realistic. So as a coach, I have to tell myself that these are the things that are important. Stick to these basics and don't overload the kids. And then what Shape Stuff allows you to do is reinforce those things and not try to get to that extra those extra techniques or those extra things that are just going to overload the kids. So you have me actually thinking, Patrick, which I love, is because any tool can be used, you know, for good, or it can be used as a detriment, as you know, as you just explained so well. So
I could see the parents in the car before the game with a kid going over the lessons and like, okay, don't forget this and this.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. But again, I think it goes down to that coach needs to understand that, you know, this is a philosophy that I have of how to teach skills the right way, and overloading is not a good thing.
Well, that's where you need to bring us in. That's where you need to bring us in, John, to supply the mental game tools and the Shape Stuff so they can get mentally prepared for the game.
I think you're right. I think we do need to add some mental aspects to this as opposed to just the drills and skills that we have now. And
also,
I should – I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I also helping the parents understand, you know, exactly what the role is so that they don't overdo the lesson with the kids.
Absolutely. I will tell you this. I think – there's a lot of application for this because I keep mentioning drills and skills and even practice plays that we have already created that can be easily dragged and dropped into these practice plans. There's no reason we can't have a message that says, here's the psychology of this, or here's how to do this the right way, and here's how not to overload kids, whether it be with actual skills and drills or technology in general. So we can apply that easily.
Or for coaches, just disseminating information about good coaching to the volunteers that maybe aren't, you know, fully educated in good coaching.
Well, I'd love to hit you up for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that it's hard for parents to understand how to strike that balance, because here we sound like we're being a little negative about the parents, but the truth is any of us who've taken part in youth sports know that it's really hard to strike that balance. It's really hard to know when to help and when to back off and when to remind the kids. It's tough.
Right. It's the biggest challenge in getting involved with it because, as you know, especially when your kids are in there for the first time, everything is just – it's a whole new world, and parents and coaches don't know how to deal with it. You know, these are people that are coming from a job where they've had high stress all day, and then they're coming out into this, you know, this field, and they think that same kind of concept should apply to what they're doing out there on the field, and we know that's not effective at all for the kids. So I think you're right.
But it's a wonderful learning tool, I think, and in terms of reinforcing what the coaches are doing. I mean, you know, it's almost above and beyond what the kids would actually be getting in school, right?
Absolutely.
So it's pretty interesting that, you know, it starts in the sport arena in terms of learning and enhancing learning of kids. It's a wonderful tool, but I think that, you know, that is the danger of it being overdone by kids or being overdone by parents, as Lisa said. When do you back off and say, okay, my kid's got it,
right,
and let's not make them sit down every single day and review this stuff for 15 minutes when maybe that's not what they want to do. Maybe they just want to go play.
Well, I think you're right, and we should almost put some messages on here about, you know, the proper use of this and what's too much. It gets a little difficult, but at the same time, I think you're right. There's a lot of things that we can do with that to make it even a better tool.
I could see it enhancing focus and concentration as well. If, you know, as you say, that there's those interactive components to it. Sometimes when you get a group of kids, they're not always, you know, super focused on the coach and the message the coach is trying to say. They've got other agendas or whatever. But being able to make it interactive and fun and bring in technology in, you know, I think kids generally like technology. I think that might enhance their learning ability because they're going to be more focused on the material as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Just as long as it doesn't feel like, oh, this is drab homework just like school.
Yeah, and I think you'll agree when you see it that they've done a really good job of keeping it short and fun and making sure that the coaches understand that's how you're going to be more effective with the kids, that they're going to like it. We already know that kids are a lot more in tune with technology than we are, and they're not as put off by it as we are as adults either, so that's a good thing.
That's great. Now, I'm just curious, do you know, how did all of this begin? It sounds like you got involved with this program. It wasn't your brainchild.
No, it wasn't. They at George Mason, they had developed this. They actually call it a mentoring tool, and it had a lot to do with teachers with students and also teachers with administrators with faculty to follow up on meetings, to, you know, bring up new subjects that faculty could vote on, following up with students on different lesson plans. It's pretty neat when you think of that application to it. And then somebody had the idea that coaching would be a good thing, and then they tracked us down. And what we like about it is it really fits in nicely with what we're trying to do with our NAES.org website, with our membership, is to have our coaches have access to all kinds of different tools and different skills and drills. And we have evaluation tools on there for them and other things. So this fits in perfectly with what we're trying to do with our membership now.
Now, is there a way that parents can communicate with coaches through this program?
Actually, you know, from coach to parent and then parent back to coach through the child and through that account, they can. As far as an application directly for the parents to initiate this, not at this point, but it can be in the way we have it set up now through that coach, because the first thing that the parent will get, because we're dealing with younger children, they'll get the message. They provide their email address, and then it says we can either communicate with just the parent or the child or both, and that's up to the parent to decide. So in that respect, they can communicate directly back to the coach. They purposely made it a coach to player, parent to coach type of an application instead of player to player to player. So it doesn't operate like a MySpace or a Facebook. So it's the coach can have total control of what the messages are going out and coming back. And, of course, you know, the parent can then provide the coach direct feedback. So it is a great tool for parents to be able to communicate back to the coach.
Because I find sometimes that coaches are so busy, it's hard to be in touch with them.
Oh, yeah.
And it might be a good way. Of course, there's always email and phone, too.
And I think some parents feel intimidated by approaching the coach as well, and it might be a simple way for them to just, you know, shoot off a message to the coach that's, you know, non-threatening, non-intimidating for parents.
Well, maybe for another day, a discussion about our new evaluation system that we put in place for that anonymous parent who, you know, obviously you're just talking about them, the kind of parent that doesn't want to come up and interact with the coach because they're not comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
In that youth sports arena, and there a lot of times isn't any way for them to really express how they feel. But in our evaluation tool, what we're doing for all of our members is asking them to keep open evaluation as opposed to an evaluation just at the end of the season, where the parents at any time anonymously can get on and answer some questions about how they think the coach is doing, so that the coach can get positive feedback or instant feedback, I should say, during the season about what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong, whether they're communicating with officials or whether they're communicating with parents or even down to specifics like hydrating the kids or talking about sportsmanship. So,
how long has that been in place?
Since January, and it's starting
to
really catch up. The coaches love it because it's, like I said, it's anonymous. They can get feedback, and it gives them a cumulative total, and they can also see a breakdown of every one of these different categories of what their parents are saying about them or thinking about them, I should say, and it makes them, in turn, instantly a better coach. And I can remember when we tested this, I was one of the coaches that tested it, and you can, I mean, if I sent out 7 emails and asked my parents to evaluate me, you know, across the board, I got good, very good marks in teaching the skills. I remember specifically feeling really badly that one of the things that they marked me a little lower in was teaching stretching to the kids beforehand, because we always seemed like we were in a rush to get our practices started. And I'd like to say that it was because the parents were a little late getting to practice, but at the same time, it showed me that there were parents out there that thought that I wasn't really, you know, doing any stretching with the kids. So immediately I went back to the next practice and said, okay, we're definitely going to spend, you know, 7 to 10 minutes on stretching before each practice. And I got this anonymous tip, basically, from parents who sit there every day, and you know in their heads they're evaluating how I'm doing, but there's no mechanism for them to be able to tell me, unless they're very outgoing parents, and you know how that goes.
Right. Outgoing and also well-spoken.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Is there a spot where parents can go read more about this or demo it, or coaches can demo it, or you're not at that stage yet?
Well, right now it's really exclusive to our membership, and we're getting to the point where we're showing how this works and doing demos and things like that. I'd be more than happy to share it with you. But
people should go to
nays.org, yes, and you can read a little bit more about it. But like right now, like I said, it's really an exclusive membership thing because it's so new. But we do have some information on it online.
Great. Well, this is really an exciting idea, and I hope that we've provided you with some ideas about how to implement it.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to both of you. Thank you. And
I
looked at your website, and I really appreciate what you're doing because it seems like we're almost hand-in-hand in accomplishing the same task. So we appreciate you being out there also.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.